Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, a huge week. Baseball, track and field, and football, all home for PAC weekends. Golf teams have been at the conference tournament. The men currently competing in the Sunbelt Conference tournament, trying to make it back-to-back championships. The tennis team is at the conference tournament this week as well. But we're going to start with the big news around A-State athletics. Reports came out this past Friday night that Jeff Purinton was leaving Arkansas State after spending nearly three full years as the athletic director and vice chancellor of intercollegiate athletics. I know I was in the middle of broadcasting the game on Friday night down at Georgia Southern when reports started to come across from Jeff Reed and A-State Nation, and I know Pete Thamel picked it up nationally later on and we were able to confirm it. But, you know, the first thing that went through my mind, and I'm anxious to hear yours, is just, man, I hate it. Jeff has done a phenomenal job the last 3 years, and we can go through the list here of just the things that he's been able to do in a relatively short amount of time, but he's going to leave a really nice legacy here.
Yeah, you text me, from Statesboro, and at the time, I had this stock answer that was 1,000,000% true. When people were texting me asking me about these reports, I always said, look, I was in the guy's office at 5 o'clock talking to him about the A-State Arkansas game in Little Rock, September 6th. And that's true. I was, because I had spent the day in Little Rock Friday in some different meetings all about the game and at the stadium with the folks at War Memorial looking at stuff, and came back and just kind of wanted and catching him up on those conversations. And so, obviously, this other news didn't come up. To your point, yeah, I mean, look, a lot of good stuff has happened on his watch. And sometimes this is a job where, we know people who've had this job before that, everything bad that happened was their fault, and everything good that happened happened in spite of them, was the way those people were treated in that position sometimes, which is completely unfair. And I don't think Jeff's gotten that treatment at all, but it's happened before. But yeah, a lot of good things happened on his watch. Obviously, he's proven to be really, really good at leading coaching searches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just go start a search firm.
He could, based on the hires that he's been able to bring in. What I enjoyed, though, is just kind of watching him evolve as an athletic director. And when he first came in, he sat down on this podcast and he talked about his process. And obviously, he learned from one of the best athletic directors in the country, and Greg Byrne down at Alabama. One thing that Jeff wanted to do when he came in was not just come in and make a lot of changes right away. He kind of sat back and observed for a period of time. That ended up paying off in the long run. He got to get a really good feel of the athletic department and saw what kind of state we were in each of our different programs, and then was kind of able to make some moves from that point on.
I've told people for as long as I've been over there working that, he's got the best poker face I've ever seen of anybody in that job. Externally, on the outside looking in, nothing ever seems to kind of raise his heart rate up. As someone who works for him, he's been great to work for, because he went and put a team together, and then pretty much when he put that team together, trusted you to just go do your job. And I would not say he didn't ask questions or provide input, but in a way where, when he did those things, you certainly were wanting to go take care of him, because he didn't just stand over you all the time watching. He did a great job of letting people do their job. And look, he's walking out of here. When that time comes, he's going to leave, and we're leading the Bubas Cup with just a few sports to go. That matters. That's a sign of kind of where things are across your department. So I definitely think it is, and we've said this about other people who've left of late, I think it's easy to say that he's left it better than he found it.
Yeah, and that's what you want. And in Jeff's case, he's left it much better than when he found it. I did text with Jeff last night. We're recording this on Monday, and kind of offered him this platform. He said there's obviously announcements coming out here in the next couple of days, and after that happens, he'd love to come in and would love to kind of go over the last 3 years and everything that's happened during his tenure. So we fully intend on Jeff Purinton being in very soon to kind of recap all that. All right, before we move on, I am kind of curious how it went in Little Rock. So what did you figure out on your trip down to Little Rock?
Well, some of it, it'd probably still be a little premature for me to say. What I can say is that what was going on there were some site visits for a couple different options for where, like, the official A-State tailgate party will be and what that'll look like. And that was a lot of what we did. Beyond that, I did spend some time after that with the staff at War Memorial, really just going around the facility. I mean, looking at the visiting AD suite. And we walked down, and that's why I shot you a picture from the radio booths, and went down to look at the locker room and took pictures and videos of that for our equipment guys and just stuff like that. Really just getting eyes on the facility, asking a couple of questions I knew people up here had. And then a lot of it was doing some site visits to see again, because there will be an official, you know, A-State tailgate party that the Alumni Association and the foundation, I'm sure, will all team up on. And so we're looking at a couple different locations and plans to how to make that the best event possible.
Now, I know there's also been some information that's come out on the website and through our different social media outlets about tickets mm-hmm. and some of the frequently asked questions that have come up surrounding the game. But what's the number one thing we're trying to pass along here?
You know what the number one thing? That's a funny question. If you say, what's the number one thing we're having to pass along here? You know what the answer to that really is? We're the road team. This is not a neutral site game. And I get it, man. I get how it's easy to lose track of that or think it's different. It's not. We are the visiting team.
However, we've got a larger allotment
than usual. But it's still not like it's half the stadium. It's not. In fact, it's not a quarter of the stadium. And what we've got has to count for everything. Our player pass list has to come out of that. Our band has to come out of that. Whatever we're doing with the students has to come out of that. What we got is what we got. And that's why you're seeing the information that came out last week, where what's happening right now is you can basically put in your request for how many tickets you'd like to buy out of our allotment. And we're only talking about our allotment. I happen to see that as we're recording this on Monday, I saw where War Memorial put other tickets went on sale today. So what we're dealing with is our allotment. And really and truly, the easiest way to put it for our fans is we're treating it almost like a bowl game. We're taking a period of time where people put their requests in. At the time where that date cuts off, then you start filling the requests. And that's where things like giving levels and priority points, that's where they come into play. And they should. Like, I can remember where I was, to be honest with you, doing my radio show when this game was announced. At that point in time, when A-State announced the game in 2021, they started talking about, you know, priority points start accumulating right now for the ability to buy tickets for a game in 2025. And so I do think that even prior to Jeff and any of this administration being there, that was the messaging that was put out. So I say all that to this. Go online to astateredwolves.com or find out, you know, go read that press release and find out the process of putting in your request to mm-hmm. buy tickets.
Okay.
Don't get down in the dumps thinking that's your only way to get tickets, because, again, we're only talking about our allotment, which is a small section of the stadium. But first and foremost, the one thing I'd remind people is we're not the home team, and it's not a neutral site.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is DeMario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. Thank you, and Wolves up.
And we welcome you back to the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Baseball team was on the road this past week, starting this past Tuesday at Southern Illinois. Took on a really good SIU team. They were 24-12. Got off to a rough start. We were down 7-2 after three innings, but our guys just kept on fighting, came back, scored four in the fourth, a couple of times in the sixth. We're up 8-7. It was tied 8-7 going all the way into the bottom of the ninth, and Southern Illinois was able to tie it up. Yeah, this was just a good old-fashioned midweek game. We really haven't had a lot of those this year. Used to, you'd think, midweek game, oh gosh, it's going to be 3.5-4 hours long. Well, with our pitching,
yeah,
we haven't seen too many games that even last over 3 hours this year.
You're right. You used to, I mean, you would just allot for 3 hours. You knew that the standard running time was 3 hours, and you hope it didn't go way past that. But now, you're right, with the pitching and then, you know, the rule changes and the pitch clock and some of those things. I mean, it's changed enough to where 3 hours has gone from the standard length to feeling like a long game.
Major League Baseball has sped up a lot, but the college game, I don't know if that's talked about as much, but it's sped up significantly. Not on this night, though, because we ended up going 4 hours and 20 minutes. Fortunately, after all that time, the Red Wolves were able to score twice in the 11th to win it 10-8. Will French had a go-ahead RBI single in that inning, and Brett Foss, who ended up picking up the win, he went the final inning in a third. He was the 10th pitcher of the night for the Red Wolves, as A-State was able to pick up their first extra inning victory of the year. So that was good as far as momentum heading into a big weekend series at Georgia Southern.
The best news after a four-hour game is that Illinois is, that portion of Illinois, if we're being, is closer than a lot of people probably realize. I think it catches a lot of people off guard how quickly you could be in part of Illinois from here.
That's true. Yeah, if you're just going to the tip of Illinois, you can get there in 2.5 hours. But, yeah, it's a little over three to get to Carbondale. But after that, the Red Wolves went to Georgia Southern. Yeah, this was a big series. They were two of the four teams that were tied for seventh going into the weekend. Thursday night, really good ball game. We get up 2-0. They come back, tie it. Then they take the lead on a two-run homer in the bottom of the seventh. In the top of the eighth, we're able to get a bases-clearing triple from your man, Ashton Quiller. The redshirt freshman who just continues to come up with big hits. Ashton ended up coming home and scoring right after that when Will French had an RBI single.
I threw it out there on social after he hit this triple to see if I could get it to get some traction. I tweeted, it's Quiller time.
He came through, and after we scored the four in the eighth, it was Chase Richter time. He came in and threw two perfect innings to get the save. Red Wolves ended up winning the opener 6-4.
So I'll tell on myself a little bit. We were doing stuff around the house and obviously keeping up with the score, but in terms of really getting to watch or listen to the broadcast, I just had two quick chances where I had to get in a truck and drive somewhere twice. Short drives both times. And I heard us score 5 of our 6 runs.
Oh, really?
When it was scoreless, I got in. Like, who started that first scoring rally? Got on base. Like, literally, that was the first at-bat I heard.
Okay.
We went up 2-0. And then the next time I got in there, we were behind. You know, my next one, we were behind, but heard the Quiller triple. So it would literally, in literally probably less than 10 minutes of listening time, I heard 5 of our 6 runs. My favorite part about that Thursday night game, because I think, like, I remember looking at the box score from the Southern Illinois game, and all the damage, and I mean all the damage, was done in about the top five spots in the lineup. I thought what was interesting about Thursday night is the big blow here, the game when it hit, was all the bottom of the lineup, on base and Dedrick Kell, you know, bringing them home. So I thought that was a nice touch and a good sign that you're able to get production up and down the lineup in a big win on the road.
Yeah, Dedrick, by the way, had a really good week. Just in the four games combined, he was 7-14. So good to see him kind of break out after a slow start to the season, and going to need him down the stretch these final four weekends of conference play. Saturday didn't go as well, falling short in that one by the score of 6-3. And then on Sunday, rubber match This was a game in which, you know, we had Jack Hibbert on the mound, the true freshman who's been so good. Really hasn't had that many rough starts. The long ball got us on Sunday. In fact, the first six runs that Georgia Southern scored were on home runs. Had a couple of solo shots and then two-run home runs. Even though we were up 4-1 going into the bottom of the third, just kind of had an uneasy feeling because you felt like those innings, when they scored twice in the first, twice in the third, felt like they could have been a whole lot bigger. And you kind of let them hang around, and Georgia Southern's able to come back and win it by the score of 7-4. So you drop the series, but you're 8-10 in conference play now with four conference weekends to go and part of a three-way tie for eighth with Texas State and Old Dominion. So if the tournament started today, they'd still be in. But you got a really big weekend series coming up with Georgia State. Georgia State's at 9-9 in the league. One thing the Red Wolves have been able to do to this point, they've been able to win all three of their conference home series. So if they do that again this weekend, it's going to go a long way.
Yeah, big series. There's only two weekends left at home, and so hopefully people will take advantage of that. I was looking at standings for a couple of different reasons. Both were the wins we had right now in relation to the number of total wins we've had in conference play over the last few years. But one thing I noticed, too, is that I think the bottom part of the league, and obviously Arkansas State's included in that, right, pick 14th, the strides they've made to close the gap to where, like, right now, last place is six wins. There are years like where the whole 30-game schedule's played out, and last place might not have been to six wins. And they're that right now with still, you know, four conference weekends to go. So there is more parity in the league. There's people beating up on each other. Now, what's going to be interesting to see is hopefully you don't pay a price tag for that as a conference when it comes time to give out bids to the regionals. But it is interesting that the bottom portion of this league has closed the gap on the top, and you got a little bit of everybody beating up on everybody right now, with even the six wins being the lowest total already. It's pretty interesting.
Big weekend, but before that happens, the Red Wolves will be on the road Tuesday night. They'll be at Memphis, first pitch for that one at 6:05, and then hosting Georgia State Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 6:00, 6:00, and 1:00. The start times at Tomlinson Stadium.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact, spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Back with you one more time here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Football going to wrap up spring practice this Saturday with the Pack Day spring game. I know you know all the details here. I'll give some of them.
Go ahead.
Food trucks at 11 a.m., Hijinks Kid Zone.
The other thing I want to say around that same time is that, and I want to make sure, like, communicate this, is that Tailgate City, Hijinks is going to set up a kid zone in Tailgate City, but the rest of it is wide open. It's like the squatter's rights. Go find you a spot in Tailgate City and throw you a tent down and have a tailgate party Saturday leading up to the spring game.
Our friends at Textbook Brokers going to be out there too?
Yeah, they're going to be out there. Probably around 11:30, there'll be some stuff outside the team store. The team store will be open. Everything that they'll have out there, and we did this last year, and it was a big event for them. And just kind of to answer the question, get asked a lot, there's not always enough stuff on our end to constitute having a gear sale. you really can only do that about every 2 or 3 years to accumulate enough extra stuff to be able to sell it. So in the years where there's not enough stuff, we want to do this with textbook brokers, where there's always a component where you can come get some A-State stuff and save money. So everything textbook brokers has out at that their sale Saturday is going to be at least 40% off.
Great time to buy. Gates open at noon for the spring game, yep. And the game itself starts at 1:30. You know, the women's basketball team's going to be out there. They're signing autographs.
Yep, they'll be out there when gates open from 12 to 12:30. Orin O'Neill, former A-State fullback, and yeah. Played for the Raiders. He was the Raiders Rookie of the Year. I always thought he was the Raiders Rookie of the Year in a year where the Raiders had the number one pick in the draft, and Orin O'Neill was their Rookie of the Year.
Oh, was that the Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah, he was in that draft class, and he was their Rookie of the Year in 2007. In 2006, that would predate the Burlsworth Award. So CBSSportsLine.com named Orin the National Walk-On of the Year in 2006. In 2005, he won the Terry Gwynn Award, which was the highest honor a student-athlete around here can yeah. get. And so former Stuttgart Ricebird, he's got a phenomenal story just in what he kind of overcame and worked his way through to go from a walk-on sleeping on people's couch to a guy with a couple of degrees and an NFL career.
Yeah, amazing story. We need to get him on here at some point.
Yeah. So he's 12 to 12:30. We'll mm-hmm. have an autograph table out on the concourse. And then with the Sun Belt Tournament champ women's basketball team is going to be there from 12:30 to 1. They'll be out there signing autographs. It's going to be a photo station set up where you can get your picture made, like in one location, like one photo with the 68 Ventures Bowl Championship Trophy. That's also going to be up to the Bowl Trophy. Men's Basketball Sun Belt Trophy, Women's Basketball Sun Belt Trophy, Volleyball Sun Belt Championship Trophy, all on display. Kind of get your photo with those. We're going to have another kind of pseudo sort of kid zone on the south end of the concourse. I'm not going to say yet what's supposed to be set up there, but another area for kids to come on the concourse itself. I'm going to have a poster-making station over there so you can make your own posters. Yeah, get ready for the game at 1:30.
Sounds like a full Saturday, and we'll get into some of the other details happening on Saturday here in just a minute. Now, on Friday, the For the Players Classic is going to be held at Jonesboro Country Club. That benefits the football team and, of course, the Impact Club putting that on. So lots of stuff going on with football. As far as track and field, they were at several different places this past weekend. A couple of meets in California, the Mount SAC Relays and the Brian Clay Invitational. They were also at Louisiana Tech. Abby Coberly ended up winning the women's 1500 meters. Michelle Ogbemudia taking the women's shot put. Kiara Strayhorn winning the women's long jump. And she had the sixth best mark in school history at 6.11 meters. Colby Eddowes, former podcast guest, breaking his own school record in the decathlon. He had 7,681 points, which is currently the seventh most in the nation this year. Aviel Gasco winning the 3,000 meters. Carly Pujol tying her program record in the pole vault at 4.3 meters. And Jacob Pyatt, another former podcast guest, breaking his own school record in the men's 10,000 meters. So all kinds of great performances yeah. heading into a big, big weekend. The Alumni Classic is this weekend as part of PAC Weekend. Track team's going to be in action Friday and Saturday, free admission.
Yeah, check them out Friday afternoon. And then I think it's supposed to start around 10:30 Saturday morning. The events out there get going out the track complex. Just under the overpass on yeah. the Marion Barry Parkway, driving through campus. Sometimes people don't know how to get there, but it's just literally you would turn on the south end of the overpass and just wind under that thing, and you come to where we play soccer and tennis and have our track complex. So only home meet of the year, so check those guys out.
Women's golf finished their season this past week at the Sun Belt Championships in Point Clear, Alabama. Ended up placing eighth out of 13 teams. So the year over for them, but they still finished the season with the sixth best stroke average in program history.
They dealt with some stuff.
They did.
And so proud of them. I thought they hung in there pretty daggum well at the conference tournament. So congratulations to those guys. And I even ran the scoring update when women's golf was done to make sure. And we were still right there in the lead in the Bubas Cup, even with women's golf now checked off.
Men's golf, well, what a week they had. They just eked by in the A-State Spring Invitational at Ridgepoint, winning the tournament by 35 strokes. There were nine other teams in this tournament. They finished first out of 10. 36 under as a team. Second place was Xavier at 1 under. Jack Maxey ended up taking individual honors. He finished in first place at 12 under. Jake Lyle goes 11 under for second place. And Thomas Schmidt finished tied for third at 7 yeah. under. So 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3 individually. Obviously, so a 35-stroke win or whatever it was as a team. It really got to the point where the heated competition was just our guys compete with themselves trying to win the individual title, because even by the time you got to the last day, the team title was not much in question.
As we record this, they are competing at the Sunbelt Championships, which go on through Thursday in Madison, Mississippi. And of course, the men's golf team trying to win the Sunbelt Championship for a second straight year.
So as we sit here, and of course, it's not going to matter much by the time you're listening to it, but I'm sitting here checking on them as they're deep in round number one, sitting atop the standings. Now, that doesn't matter a whole lot because this is just a get in the top four situation where, you know, after three rounds of stroke play, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then those top four teams are going to come out Thursday and match play for the conference championship. So this is just getting to the top four, but after one round or getting late in the first round, we had a two-stroke lead on second place, and right now a seven-stroke lead over fourth place.
They're in the conference tournament. So is the tennis team. Good to see them make the conference tournament.
Right, because not everybody did this time. So they had to go out and get one of those 10 spots.
They ended up dropping their regular season finale at South Alabama over the weekend, but they are playing in the opening round of the tournament in Rome, Georgia. Their first match coming up Thursday at 10 a.m. against Georgia State.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the largest tennis center in the country.
Yeah, of all places. Rome, Georgia.
All tennis roads lead to Rome.
Good luck to Coach Lama and his team in that event. Anything else we need to address here?
No, I mean, appreciate everybody listening and hope to see everybody out Saturday or the weekend. You can watch some track. You can obviously make a whole day of it at football, and then you'll go to baseball because baseball's playing important games, really important games at home this weekend.
Yeah, it's nice to be talking about
that. It sure is, yeah.
With four weekends to go in the season. We do plan on Jeff Purinton getting in here very soon and certainly having an exit interview with him. We'll be the ones providing the exit interviews around here. But, yeah, in this case, it's something that we have a lot of good stuff to talk about. All right. We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Cavanaugh Auto Group.